James. The book of James. Still in the first chapter. When you find it, say amen. I want to read to you the 12th through the 16th verse. Beginning at 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. Again, I thank God for just allowing us to assemble here to get together this morning. And as I was reading these verses, I was thinking about the temptations that we all face. Every one of us are tempted every day to sin. We think a lot about sometimes and say, well, Lord, why are you doing this to me? Why are you tempting me? But God cannot be tempted. God tempteth no man. But where does this temptation come from? It comes from the evil from Satan. Now, God allows us to be tested. He allows us to be tried. He allows Satan to work on us. Why? To see what we're made of. He wants to see exactly where we stand. Without temptation, without trials, you would be nothing. It would be quite dull. But through trials and through temptation, we learn. You know, when you're on top of the mountain, you're pretty high, and you think, well, I'm up here enough. You don't appreciate much of anything. When your wealth is up, when you've got lots of money, you don't really think about where your next meal is coming from or what have you. You don't. But it's when you're down in the valley, when you're down on the floor, when you're at your bottom edge of this, and I always feel like it's like kind of like a roller coaster. Life is sometimes you're way up high, and another time way down low. But you don't stay there. You learn while you're down there. In the valley, he restoreth my soul. Some of you say. But then you go back up. You go up the mountain. God allows us to be tested and tried. He does not. If we say we are tempted by God, if we are tempted by God, we are a liar. Because first of all, temptation is sin. God has no sin. Never did have sin. Never will have sin. So how could he tempt you with sin if he doesn't have it? He doesn't have sin, so he cannot tempt you. You know, there's been a lot of talk back here, and I hate to mention the name, but I'm going to anyhow about Mercedes. Morning, and how we all are praying for that lady, you know, and it just seems like that, boy, it's just overwhelming. She needs our prayers. She does. And don't forget to pray for her throughout, not just here on Sunday, but throughout the week. But God has allowed Satan to work on this way. God has allowed this. Not my reasoning. I know not why. But we do know that it's happening. The same has happened. happened to you, and the same has happened to me. We have been tested, we have been tried, and it has made us more pure. Metal being tested has to be heated, it has to be tried, it has to get the impurities out of it. We have to have the same thing. Yes. Every man is tempted. But what causes temptation? Where does it come from? The Bible tells me in 1 Corinthians, 10th chapter, 13th verse, that there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. No temptation. You are not unique in anything that you do, in any of your testing. It has happened before. It has happened to other people. These temptations that we have, and some of the scriptures that I've read, it refers to how, as I read to you earlier this morning, the lust that we have within us. That old self, that old person, that old lustful person, we generate within our heart and in our mind. That word comes from the Sabbath there. But it comes forth and it causes us to look, and we like to think of this, we always think of this as a sexual thing, you know, a moral, this. We always like to think that that's where it is, that we, probably we're all guilty of it. I don't know about you, but I sure am. We look on the opposite sex and the way they dress today, and they leave little imagination, and that old lustful part of us inside, we get to thinking about this thing, and woo, it can go wild. And I'm sure it happened to everyone sitting in this room this morning. Yes, it's common. It is quite common. And that thing that's put into our mind, you see, it's like Mercedes, and that's why I mentioned her name. She mentioned here, what, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, in the Bible study class. She said, if it's sin to, how to say, think about it, then we just, well, go ahead and do it. Not so. The thing that's implanted within our mind, Satan has put there. Yes, that old nature that we try to bury, and brother, you've got to work on it every day. It's still there. Don't think that all of a sudden you're just perfect now. You're above it. You're clean, and you don't have to worry about it anymore. He comes back at you at your weakest point. Fix it up, and you'll find another. Yes. The thing that I just said to you was what we all call common there. But this temptations and these sins that are in our heart, they come in so many different ways. I have a scripture written down here. I have no idea what it is. It says Matthew 15:19. Let's go back and see what that says. I didn't even put it down on my paper. So it must be Matthew 15. Let's go back and read that. See what it says. Can you find it? Where's Matthew? That's the New Testament. Matthew 15:19 says, for out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, murders, adulterers, fornications, theft, false witness, blasphemy. You see, so all of the sins that he's talking about here, it's not one little old thing, it's the whole thing. Everyone, and yours may be different than mine. Yes, you may have a bad habit of bad-mouthing people. You might have a habit of telling stories about somebody, or looking to find fault in your neighbor or something. Oh, that's not sin, is it? Oh, that's just telling the truth. When we seek to find the worst in people, that is sin. Looking for the bad things in life is sin. I heard nothing this morning but complaints about our government, about all this. We sit around and we just yakety-yakety-yakety-yak about those politicians, those people in government, those leaders. We just constantly yakking when we ought to be on our knees praying for them. We should be down there praying for them. God, put a fire under them peoples. Yes, build a fire under them the politicians down there in Washington. They'll have to come around and do the truth. Yeah, we do. Adulterers, murderers, what all the same? What a bunch of them. Wow. Yeah. Murderers, adulterers, fornication, thefts. Thefts. Is there a thief in the house? I got one over here. Is there any more? Pray for her. Pray for that thief. Pray for the rest of you. Yes, how many times have we come across a situation where maybe we were in a position where there was some little type of thing that might kill people, belong to the government or something like that, then we thought, yes, I've already paid for that through taxes and everything. It won't hurt me to take it. Wrong. It's a thief just the same as if you'd stole it from me. It's a thief to all these things, you see. Just little things. We look at the situation where we're working and we say, hey, they ain't gonna miss this. I'll just take it home with me. Yeah. That makes it right, huh?
Well, it's in my
life. Just because they're not gonna miss it. That makes it legal, you know. That makes it all right to do it. You're a thief, just exactly the same as if you would break into my house and steal my guns. You're just exactly the same in the eyes of God. Except we repent. We all do little things that are sinful. Out of a sinful nature comes out of a sinful heart. Those things, those desires that we have within. How about that person that talks across the fence? That little tummy that can't right there, right? Doing just yet. Talk stories about your neighbor. Jealous things that just can't wait to get this on the news. You know, I just can't wait to get this across the fence. Or on the old your party line used to be telephone. Oh boy, you get on that, you can just hear all kind of good stuff. Yeah. But anymore, I think they caught the internet. Yeah. That is, boy, you can get out and you can just find all kind of juicy stuff. About, not your neighbor, no, wouldn't be that. Boy, you get in a quiet circle someplace. Have you heard this? Have you heard what she done? I said, no, I haven't. Don't tell me. No, we won't. We'll stick that little ear out there and we'll say, yeah, what was it? Like he told you, truck park in front of the water. Yeah, right. Well, these things all come from the heart. Those things that Satan gets in there and he prods us, he allows us to see things that we might desire, those things that we might like to do that's not quite right. Boy, does he ask. He'll agitate them, and the first thing you know, we'll find out that we say, well, everybody's doing it. We'll make an excuse, and hey, it's common. I mean, look around about you. It's the common thing. Everybody's doing it. It's all right. It ain't all right. Sin is sin is sin, regardless of who does it or where. It doesn't make a difference whether it's you or whether it's me. Yeah. There's three words that kind of goes along with this. To begin with, it's provoked. Satan loves to make you, to provoke you He loves to stir trouble. He loves to cause churches to split. He loves to call difference between this side of the aisle and this side of the aisle. No, I wouldn't sit by you. There ain't no way I'm going to sit on your side of that church. I'm going to the other side. He loves to stir trouble. He loves to do this. He just can't wait to get people agitated one toward the other so that they'll go around. Bad mouth one another. Yeah. Did you hear that choir? That did you hear that Sunday school teacher? No. That preacher, he don't know what he's talking about. Yes. These are things that people talk about. Yes. This Gordon Wheat. Get out there and say, not happy talk. Provoke. Entice? Ah. Yes. Satan loves to show you something enticing. Oh boy. Yes. Look at this or look at that or whatever. Wow. I need that. And the farther you think about it, the more you dwell upon it, the more prettier it looks. Whatever it is. I read a story there that McGee had written. He said that a young man came to him and told him that he was in love with a very beautiful young lady. And he said that we have everything in common. It's just so good to be around her and all this. And he went on and on and on how good this was for him and her. And McGee says, well, why don't you just marry her? And he looked at McGee and said, because she's already married. He says, do you think it would be right for her to divorce her husband and to marry me? And McGee gave the only advice that God would offer. He said, no. Get away from it. Stay away from it. Do not. Do not. Stop this right now. And this man went away unhappy. But he came back. And he said, well, he said, we talked it over and said we made a decision that we will not ever proceed any further. It's over. He said, I've asked my boss to transfer me out of the country. But he said, though I really love this woman, he said, we've asked God when we're in heaven that he make it right. The only thing that we can do when we make mistakes, when we look at enticing things, is to say, God, you lead us. You show us the thing. Enticing? Absolutely. But the last word is snare. Yes. Once he has enticed us to the point that we feel like, yes, I can take this object. I can steal it. I can do this. I can take that drink. I can do this other thing, whatever it is, sin in your life, it doesn't make a difference. They're all different, but they're all sin. I can go ahead and do this. Missionaries. Once we have taken, once we have went the full way and took on that thing that God said no, It's that what we have, Satan has snared you. He's got you. He'll turn around and look at you and laugh and say, ha, ha, ha. I got you. Well, you know the end, the result, after you have done this and done that or whatever it was, you look at it at different times down the road a ways and say, whoa, you're a walk matter for me. It ain't caught me enough to trouble. Satan's snare will cause nothing to trouble. We're going to change the subject just a little bit. I want to talk to you about my church. This church. This people that are sitting here in this congregation. We get this trouble. We get disturbed. We get into time when we can say, well, what's it? I don't even want to go to church. I don't even want to look. Same thing. Preacher says the same thing every Sunday school teacher. Just blah, blah, blah. Wednesday night we just do the same thing. What if he would do it all? Choir sounds terrible. Piano player can't find the right page. Shoes don't fit. Oh yeah. You can hear it all. Yep. You hear all these bad mouthing things that we can do. All negative and all sin. Regardless of what you think, when you badmouth your church, your people, you are sinning. There's no two ways about it. If someone came to you and said, how's your church doing? What would your answer be? Would you say, great, we're having a wonderful time? Or would you say, oh, we're down there with about 14 or 15 people. We don't have much. It's so hard when you don't have to do body and this, that, and the other. Complaining, bad mouthing, our church. Yes, you don't have the bestest of anything. Or do you? Turn this around a little way. If you take an act, see, this is coming out of the heart. The exact same thing that I just preached about. These are thoughts that are in the heart. The Satan is putting them in there. Yeah. Doubts, fears, all these things. Turn that around and say, wow, what a wonderful job Nelda done on the piano this morning. Oh, my gosh, she was great. Beautiful. At her age, to play that piano like she does is fantastic. She does the most wonderful job of anybody I've ever heard in my life. She does great. That part, well, they may not be the best part. They sounded beautiful this morning. And that, so do that part was great. It was fantastic. It made you really feel good. And the part, that Sunday school teacher, boy, she brought her out this morning. Oh, you ought to have heard that. It was great. It was wonderful. She done such a good job there, and it made me feel so good. And those testimonies that popped from the floor, wow! They were fantastic. Yes. That preacher, he ain't much. But boy, he brought a message to him, didn't you? And he may be a farmer, and he may be out there, but he'd get down next to you every once in a while. Yes, it was good. Well, we had a wonderful church. I can't wait to get back into that church. Yes. This is what you should be seeing in your church. And when somebody asks you how your church is doing, these are the answers they should hear. Not, oh, we're down about 15 people now. We can't hardly make it. We're just this and that and the other thing and all the bad stories. No! Lift up! Everybody in this church, every part of it, it doesn't make any difference if you lie a little. And I always say, I do lie a little. But praise be me up to God, if you have it within your heart that you are pleased, that you want to serve God, then that's what will come out. If you have it in your heart that you're going to badmouth people, you're going to live for Satan, you're going to sin, that's what will come out. Think about that. Yes, if you want to see these pews filled, you take that attitude. That attitude of being so pleased with everybody else. I love my neighbors. I love everybody in the house. We have such a close fellowship. And man, that Wednesday night service, we get into some of the discussions like you wouldn't believe. And you really would enjoy it. It's good. Sometimes we get in pretty deep. But it's so good. And plus that, you get a little snack. You get a little icing on the cake. It's good. Yes, folks, if you'll take that attitude to everybody you meet, your church will be filled. But if you go around and say, oh, we only have about 15 people now. We don't have much. We can't do this, that, and the other thing. I ain't going over there. I don't want a part of that. I don't want that. No, I don't want to be a part of that church. They're dying. They're going out. But if you take that attitude of praising God and lifting up everything and say, wonderful service we had. Beautiful. Can't wait to get back. And me. Can't wait to get back in church. Yes. If you take that attitude, you'll think about that something going on over there. I would warn you what it is. Then, when they come in the door and they join us in the pew, keep that attitude. When you hear something going on up here, say, praise the Lord for it. Yes, good. Enjoy what God has given you. If it comes out of the heart, goodness comes out of the heart, it will come out of the mouth. If there's evil in the heart, it will come out of the mouth. It's your choice. It's your church. Yes, it's just exactly the same as I just read to you there. Okay. Yes. The very same thing, only we flat a little bit. Think about it, folks. What do you want? Do you want a church filled with happy people? Or do you want a church filled with people that want to talk down the You don't need nothing. Get on fire for the Lord Jesus Christ. When somebody says to you, how's your church doing? Say, wonderful. Wow. I can't wait to get back. It was so good. It was so good. And God has blessed us so well. Yes. Yes. It's your church. It's our church. As I said, God has led me. Yes. And he gave me the answer. Praise his Lord. We got work to do. But I think if we take the attitude of positive, you know that was out of thing. Back when I was in high school, which has been 8 years ago, at graduation they presented a book to one special person in the class or graduated by then, but it's called The Power of Positive Thinking by Norman Vincent. It was a book that was written, and he knew the power of positive thinking. That's exactly what I'm trying to say. The power of positive thinking will fill your church. The power of negative thinking will close the doors. It's our choice. We make the choice. Yes, Satan would love to feed you with false information, with things that would be downing, would be negative. Tell him, get out of here. Get out of here. I know my people. I know my teachings. I know it's biblical. I know it's from God. Yet, Satan, we're going to live above it. We're going to lift up the name of Jesus. We're going to stand on that solid rock. We're going to join together. We're going to fight together. Yes. Whatever it takes. We're going to. Father, we thank you and we praise you. We just ask, Lord, that you would look upon us, O God, here this morning and find us, Lord, faulty, failure. But, Lord, help us overcome all the negative. Lord, that we might think positive. That we might get in our heart, Lord, the message of greatness and not of doubts and fear. Lord, that you will help us to overcome all of these negative thoughts that Satan would throw at us. Lord, that we might be what you would have us to be. Search our hearts, Lord, right now. And Lord, where we're guilty, I pray thee forgive us. And Lord, help us. Give us strength, give us courage, and Lord, make us like this young man at the checkout. Let us show the light. We ask you, Father, just to take us, use us to your glory. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Heard the message. If God has spoken to your heart, hear it and listen.